But we said, nah, just like the song says, you fight on, you fight on. Right, Leo? And, you know, Leo doesn't like to both lead singing and play guitar at the same time. So he is fighting on. I appreciate that. Welcome to 2022. I'm telling you, I guarantee you, it's going to be uphill from here. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying. All right, because I think about two-thirds of our church either has COVID or has had close contact recently to someone with COVID or thinks they might have COVID. And Jen and I, we kind of, you know, it was 10 days ago. We're at a family gathering. My brother-in-law, anyway, whatever. So we're here, and we're going to start the lesson, and we're going to start our PowerPoint. Thanks to our awesome and amazing brother, Dwayne. Our theme for the year, and this is January 2nd, so it's time to introduce our theme for the year, which is All In. And this morning, the topic is going to be All In our relationship with God. In fact, we're going to focus in on Psalm 42. We're going to start a series of about four, maybe five, we'll see, sermons from Psalms. And there's different kinds of Psalms. For example, there's Psalms of Lament. All right? And since we're going to do a little thing on Psalms, I just want to tell you a little bit about the book of Psalms. And I want to encourage you, those online and those here this morning, to consider reading the book of Psalms over the next couple few weeks. I haven't read Psalms in a long time. I've read Psalms, but I haven't read Psalms. You know what I'm saying? And I want to encourage you to do that. But while you do it, just kind of a little few things to think about, the different kinds of Psalms. All right, there are Psalms of Lament, which are essentially us complaining to God and crying out to God for help in times of struggle, or when we're fearing, or we have a sense of loss or sorrow. And you'll notice in these Psalms of Lament, one of which, by the way, is Psalm 42, you'll notice that it starts with a complaint. And I thought the Bible says we shouldn't complain. Well, another way of saying complaining is just letting God know what's going on, okay? Letting God know what's on your heart. And then a petition, a request for God to intervene. Then it finishes, they always finish with a statement of confidence in God. For example, Psalm 13. If you're taking notes, go to Psalm 13. It's a nice, short psalm, and it has the complaint, the petition, the statement of confidence, and then a vow to praise and thank God. Psalm 73. We did a sermon from Psalm 73 about 5 or 6 weeks ago. Psalms of Asaph. And Psalm 42. Another kind of psalm is a psalm of praise. So one of our four or five sermons from Psalms will be looking at psalms of praise, where basically the psalmist is just saying, God, you're awesome. For example, Psalm number 100, shout for joy to the Lord all the earth, right? Shout for joy. And especially the last 10 psalms, almost all of those are psalms of praise. And then there are historical psalms. I'm not planning a sermon from any of the historical psalms, because the historical psalms are psalms that remind us of things that God has done. For that, I would just go to the ones that God did. For example, in Psalm 78, he talks about God parted the Red Sea and how he delivered us and things like that. And another kind of psalm is, I don't know, This is one of those words. Why did anybody ever use this word? They're called imprecatory psalms. How many here have ever used the word imprecatory in a sentence you've ever... Right, exactly. So let's just not call it that. But there's not a better word for it. These are psalms where basically the psalmist says, God, you need to intervene and take these people out. I'm good and tired of the way the people that are sinning are doing great. I'm doing terrible. God, judge those people. An interesting kind of psalm. A psalm where we call God to come and judge our enemies. There are several like that. Psalm 35, Psalm 69, Psalm 109. Now, I'm not planning on doing a sermon on an imprecatory psalm. I just, I don't know. I'm kind of not into that. whole spirit. But honestly, there's a time when we can just say to God, God, that neighbor, I don't know. It's up to you, but if you ask my opinion, never mind. All right. That's another kind of psalm, an imprecatory psalm. Another kind is a psalm of confession. We already did one of those, because remember, we did some during the emotionally healthy spirituality. We did a couple of sermons from the Psalms. For example, Psalm 51, probably the most famous confession psalm. And this morning, we're going to end up in Psalm 32 during the Lord's Supper. So there are psalms of confession. Another kind of psalm is a wisdom psalm. There aren't a lot of them, but there's a few. And these are psalms that when you read them, it reminds you of the book of Proverbs. All right. For example, Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the way of the wicked or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Or Psalm 37 or Psalm 112. Another kind of psalm, and we'll hopefully do one of these as well, is what's called a royal psalm. These are psalms that celebrate the kingship of God. Most of the royal psalms are messianic ones. For example, in Psalm 110 that says that he will be of the order of Melchizedek. Or Psalm 118, the one where it says the Messiah will be the stone over whom the Jews will stumble, but he will be the capstone. All right, now let's get to our sermon for this morning. Just a little teaching. Now let's get into the sermon. Let's go to Psalm 42. I had to look all over the internet to find a picture of a deer that looked like it was thirsty. But I succeeded. I found a thirsty-looking deer. All right, that's the picture you're seeing right now. Does that deer look thirsty? Kind of looking thirsty to me. All the other deer pictures I found were them actually drinking water. But the whole idea is they're supposed to look thirsty. All right, so I found one. Psalm 42. Let's read verse 1 and 2 together. As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? This is Josh's favorite psalm, I'm pretty sure. So we're going to use this to start our yearly theme, our year's theme, which is the theme of being all in. Now, one thing I like is a theme that can kind of be taken more than one way. For example, all in can say, we're all in. Amen? That's about us, a family. Or it can be about all of us being all in, being fully devoted to God. But what better way to start a year where we think about us being all in than to think about our relationship with God? So Jeremiah and I were having coffee at Dagny's yesterday, and I said, Jeremiah, what should we do our sermon on? I had a list, I had some topics, and Jeremiah said, Psalm 42. So we're going to do that. All right, so how about this as a resolution? How about if we be like this, what we read in Psalm 42, 1 and 2? Like a deer panting for streams of water. Now, I grew up in New England, and New England, deer really don't pant for streams of water. You know why? Because there's water everywhere in New England. I mean, if you want some water, just go over there and drink some water. But if you go to the Middle East, Jan and I have been to the Middle East, one thing you'll see in the Middle East is they have camels. And when you think about camels, what do you think about? Desert. So the deer that lived around, you know, by the way, if I mess up this morning, it is not David who wrote this psalm. So if I ever say David, blah, 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 just in your mind, just, he's getting old. It's the sons of Korah. So it's one of the sons of Korah. So if I say David this morning, just forgive me, okay? But you got to understand, deer in the Middle East, they're looking for water. They're like, I go over here to eat some grass. Like, I got to find me some water. You know, think about it. Think about it when you had to go to the bathroom really, really bad, all right? And you try to think about anything else, right? You try to think of anything else. What do you end up thinking about? I got to get me to a bathroom. And that's how I almost said David. That's how the son of Korah was thinking. I need to spend time with God. When was the last time you were like that? For me, like practically never, honestly. This is a great upward call for me. It's like a teenager who hasn't eaten for 2 hours. All they can think about is food. That's what this son of Korah was like. I was in Moscow with my friend Sasha. Sasha is this guy. He's so big. He's kind of like this. He was a world heavyweight wrestling champion. World heavyweight wrestling champion. I remember, I don't know why we were in a mall. We were in a mall one time, and I saw him. He's kind of going. I said, Sasha, what are you doing? He says, I'm counting. And I said, why are you counting? He says, because I'm hungry. You got to understand, if you're a world heavyweight wrestling champion, you eat a lot of food. And so he couldn't think about anything. So he just started counting. So the psalmist, the son of Korah, says, where can I go and meet with God? Do you long to be with God? When you go for a couple few hours and haven't prayed, do you feel like, oh my goodness? Now, Jan and I, we love our daughter's dog, Melody. And you know what? We enjoy having Melody, but right now Melody is staying with our daughter, Liz, because Liz is the owner. And I wake up in the morning, I think, where's Melody? But the question is, do I wake up in the morning and think, man, I need some time with God? And honestly, the truth is, sometimes, a little bit. I need this lesson as much as anybody in this room. I'm telling you that right now. You're not supposed to say amen that back there, Dwayne. You're not supposed to agree with that. You're supposed to say, really? Our preacher needs this too? You're supporting that too easily. Where can I meet with God? The psalmist is not driving around Bakersfield saying, oh, I'm looking for a good restaurant. The psalmist is not thinking, man, they opened a new Cane's. Awesome. So great. Yeah. Did you hear about that restaurant? They have big servings. No, he's thinking, he's driving around Bakersfield thinking, I want to get out of this car because I want to spend some time with God. That's what he's doing. Or she, but in this case, I don't know, it's a son of Korah, so I assume it's a guy. When he sees a golf course, he doesn't think, man, I need to get out on the links. He's thinking, what a great place to have a prayer walk. Aha. He looks up at the mountains. He doesn't think, oh, I'm going to go for a hike. He thinks, wow, that'd be so cool. I could go up there and just spend some time with God. Is that you? It's not me. Not nearly as much as I wish it was, that's for sure. Not lately. And this reminds us, because, you know, we did this series of sermons and then, you know, Bible talks and all that sort of stuff and the emotionally healthy spirituality. We learned about spiritual disciplines. Because you know what? It's hard to maintain this emotional state that this guy was in. It's really tough. Let's just be honest about it. That's one of the reasons we have spiritual disciplines. Like, for example, we learned about the daily office, like purposefully stopping in the middle of the day. And just spending some time praying or reading or thinking or meditating on God. Or taking some time out of your schedule and scheduling it in to have a little Sabbath time, a time of rest to be with God. You know what? I think that's going to be a great New Year's resolution. I am not big on New Year's resolutions. I don't like them at all. In fact, I think they're kind of dumb. Not for you, but for me. I don't think people who do it are dumb. That's not what I'm saying. For me, it's like, whatever. But how about a resolution to do this? Because I think if we have this discipline, if we, for example, remember we talked about the breath prayer. To just do that. Instead of succumbing to the things that are going on around us. So how do I make myself become like one of the sons of Korah? Was this guy always, do you think this was this guy every single day? The guy wrote this psalm. Do you think for 40 years in a row, this was him every day? I honestly don't think so. I think it was a struggle for him, just like it's a struggle for us. But one thing I know is he didn't give up. In fact, he let God work in this way. He's kind of like David, who was a man after God's own heart. So was David like on top of things spiritually all the time? Are you kidding? Talk about somebody who messed up. But one thing I know is David had this kind of heart. By the way, that's how I said David on purpose, because, you know, anyway. All right, so let's see, because, you know, when we read the rest of Psalm 42, we go, now, wait a minute, I'm having trouble seeing this connection, because this is a psalm of lament. Where does it start? It starts with verse 1 and 2. As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. I don't know about you, I want to be like that. I want to have that kind of relationship with God, where it's what I desire more than Christmas cookies. The last 2 weeks, I probably spent as much time thinking about Christmas cookies as I did about God. I'm just telling you the way it is. That's not good. I want to have this. So what did it take? Again, I want to propose one of the things that's going to help is to use some spiritual disciplines. All right? And what during these past couple few weeks, one thing I've done is every single day I spent significant time praying in the morning. And that helped. It helped a lot. But you know what? I think I need more than that. It was a struggle for this son of Korah. Let's read verse 3 through 11. And try to think, what's the connection between verse 3 through 11 and verse 1 and 2, which is the only two verses we usually ever read, right? In Psalm 42, the only verses we usually ever read are verse 1 and 2, but we don't make the connection. And I think if we make the connection, it's going to help us to be like this son of Korah. My tears have been my food day and night. While people say to me all day long, where's your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. See, this is a psalm of lament. How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan to the heights of Hermon and from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep, in the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs His love. At night, His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Do you see a connection between his lament and his longing to be with God? And we just want to avoid all kinds of suffering. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony, and my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. You know, I'm kind of imagining what was going on. I'm imagining this son of Korah. He thought he was doing pretty good. He was doing great. You know what? He was having a good year. He went to church pretty much every week. He had a quiet time every day, practically. He shared his faith at times, occasionally. He brought food to Bible talk. I'm modernizing it. They just modernized Romeo and Juliet. They made West Side Story. What do? They modernized West Side Story. So I'm modernizing Son of Korah here. You know, he's serving in the kids' kingdom, but you know what? He was disconnected from God. He was doing all the cool Christian stuff, but he was disconnected from God. And if we're disconnected from God, wow, that's not good. I don't know about you. I want to be connected to God this year. I want to be all in. All right? But then, you know what? COVID hit. He lost his job. His wife died. His world was falling apart. He was overwhelmed. He felt like he was drowning. His surfacey Christianity was found out for what it is. And he realized, you know what? I wasn't as deep as I thought. So what happened? In verse 3, my tears have been my food all day long. He went through a time of struggle. He got to the point where people were saying to him, where is your God? You know, Christian, you're supposed to have a blessed life. It's not going so well. What's up? And he was tempted to agree with them. He was tempted to think, yeah, like, where is God? He almost decided to give up. Spiritual disaster. No, not really, actually. It's kind of normal. Because this caused him to come close to God. It was this that caused him to say, as a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, oh my God. Because he had developed deep roots. In verse 7, it says, deep calls to deep. In the roar of your waterfalls, your waves and breakers have swept over me. Our friend Mr. Cora was feeling overwhelmed. The noise of the world was drowning out God. He wasn't hearing his voice anymore. Can you relate? I'm the minister and I can relate. So I'm guessing probably you can relate too. Work, budget, the house is a mess. Kids haven't done their homework. And when was the last time you were a deer panting for streams of water? When was the last time you said, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God? But I think what he might have forgotten was, this is the perfect opportunity. This feeling of being overwhelmed is the thing that was going to bring him back to God. Where do you go when you face trials? I don't know what it's going to be for you. Maybe it'll be your studies. Maybe your studies will overwhelm you. That's happened to some of us this year. Maybe your a family tragedy will take you away from God. But maybe what could happen is it could bring you toward God instead. Maybe you could be like this son of Korah who turned disaster into something beautiful, actually. Might be struggles in your marriage. It might be a relationship breakup. But his struggles brought him to his knees. They forced him back to God. And he asked himself, my soul, why are you downcast? And then he realized, it's because I'm disconnected from God. That's why. It's not the circumstances of life. I've become disconnected from God. So where do you go? Verse 5. He said, you know what? I'm going to put my hope in God. I'm going to keep praising him despite the things that are going on. Despite the fact that this is a lament, I'm going to go back to God. That's what he decided to do. Verse 8. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me. So he was laying on his bed at night and he's feeling overwhelmed and he started doing the breath prayer. For me, it's Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. I'm going to rely on him. And I just do that. And I find that these difficult things are a reason for me to connect more intimately with God. I want us to have a resolution that that's what we're going to do this year. We're going to be like this son of Korah who will allow the noise of the world to not drown out his relationship with God. So at night he lay on his bed and he was depressed. He was downright depressed. Right? He said to God, why have you forgotten me? Why I must go about mourning? And then he said to himself in verse 11, why am I downcast? Oh, it's because I wasn't connected with God. That's why. So he said, I'm going to put my hope in him. He renewed his relationship with God. He said, you know what I need? I don't need somebody to fix the house being a mess. I need some God time. I need to go out on that golf course and have a prayer walk. And then maybe play a round of golf later on. It's okay. It's okay, Blaine. We're not coming down on you, Blaine. Isn't this kind of what we're supposed to learn from studying the book of Job? Isn't it true that God took everything away from Job, and yet Job eventually relied on God, and God kind of came through for him? I think he did. It is then, and I want us to remind ourselves before we get into the situation, because I'm telling you, if you're caught in that situation and you've not decided ahead of time what you're going to do, you're going to get overwhelmed and you're going to get depressed, and it's not going to be a good thing. But I want us to decide now that when that happens, we're going to be like the son of Korah. And at a moment like that, we're going to say, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." And why can't it happen even when things are going okay? How about a time that God gives you victory? Maybe you could do it even then. Why not? Can I make a suggestion? Let's turn to Psalm 46, verse 10. Psalm 46, verse 10. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Let's just take some time. Let's resolve right now, every week, maybe even every day, to stop what we're doing and be still and know that He is God. Let's stop and smell the coffee. The spiritual coffee. Let's quiet the noise. Let's have that deer panting moment where we just turn to God and drown out the noise of the world. Let's make a resolution today to be still this year on a regular basis to know that He is God. Let's go to Psalm 84, verse 10. Psalm 84, verse 10. Got some amens going out there? All right, come on. Psalm 84, verse 10. "Better is one day in your courts than 18 holes of golf." Better is one day in your courts than 3 hours shopping at JCPenney's. Better is one day in your courts than watching an Oakland Raider victory. "I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows honor and favor. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk as blameless." Even in the times when we're overwhelmed and depressed and things are happening that's not so great. Better is one day. Better is 5 minutes in God's courtyard. And the cool thing is, you can do it anytime. You can just stop. You can stop. All right? You're about to walk into work, but it turns out you're 3 minutes early. Just go off to the side of the building and just say a prayer. Be connected with God. Let's resolve this year not to dwell in the tents of the wicked. All right? Let's resolve that. It said, "Let us resolve to dwell in the house of the Lord." And because we're disciples of Jesus, the curtain of the temple has been torn in two, and we have full access. We can walk in any time we want. Let's spend more time with God than on video games. All right, I don't see a lot of video game doing people here this morning. But I know there's some out there online. Let us vow to spend more time with God than on video games. Amen. 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 Okay, good. Or watching sports. Amen. Or whatever. I'm doing the sort of the guy things. The women can do the women things. I'm just gonna let that apply itself. Who is your sun and your shield? What is your sun and your shield? Is it a credit card company? Is it your nice car? Is it your Starbucks card? I got a couple of Starbucks, gift certificates. That's not my sword and my shield. Can any of them bestow honor and favor? Who's the only one who can bestow honor and favor? It's God. So let's remember that this year. I want us to get a picture. I want us to right now to get a picture. I want us to go back in our mind to Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. And picture that deer thirsting to be with God. I want us to picture a year where we learn to trust in God, not ourselves, so much. I want us to picture now a year where we actually do it. I'm talking to myself right now. We actually do it, which is take time out in the middle of the day or in the evening and just pray and just meditate on God and just draw near to Him and drink water that's real water. A year that we have moments like the son of Korah did, when we trust in God, when we'll be like a deer panting for streams of water. When we thirst with God for God, we will meet with God this year. Thank you.
Singing a song to prepare us for communion. I think sometimes when we go into situations in our lives, we